They came to
the long grass and went away again.
But they weren't took us. If they'd had a real, I don't know who the measurements were, but they never pushed anything home, not for the first two or three days. That was on the 12th that they really had a go. That was the day when that we really had it, on the 12th. That was when the chocks left us. They beetled off down the hill.
That was the day before the rebels was taken that night.
They took it that night.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a very sticky day.
That patrol you went on was what, the day after?
After break, yes.
Yeah, and you went in the Chateau d'Empire. And then we reoccupied as you were there.
We were to stay there with the radio and the board every 15 minutes the current position.
Yeah.
We got in all right and we were searching it. And that's where Patterson was helping himself to a wine in the egg buildings. When he came out, they had this patrol, which was about a platoon strength, came out of the wood further into the chateau. They got back into the chateau, but they changed hands, you know, so frequently. The 51st Highlander went up to the...
They were sent up there eventually, weren't they? Did you see the Lat Watch attack or not? Because it was over sort of over the other side.
No, Fred would have probably gone from your position, Fred, or would you be really wounded?
Well, I got wounded then. So after that attack coming that night, I think he got wounded. He got wounded in the throat, didn't he?
I think
he got wounded in the throat, and they sent me, because there was no sections, there was, if you can imagine it, I don't know, I might have been like that in the Falklands, I don't know, but sections
vanished,
and organised bodies of men had disappeared entirely, and R.S.M. Cunningham came along, and he says, come in, mate. And I just went over to the left flank there, where that water tower is, and they said, there, for some blokes. And I had about six, seven blokes in the ditch. Two of them were German. Greenway and Hutton.
They were actually Germans,
and
with false names.
And Millward. Millward with his brain. He got the M. And the next morning after that attack, before you went out on patrol, probably, was the first time that we got food.
The
food come up and was in country of course. And Captain Greenway said, come and, he sent a message out, come and grab some stuff, loads. And I went across to country quarters, which was at the back of the hunting lodge in the Bois de Bonne. And I went over there, and the first thing I saw was a tin of Capstan full strength fags. And I said, those are my blokes. I said, I said, they're dying for a smoke.
They were taking all the gentlemen's fags, weren't they?
No, but they've got these fags, you know. So I said, I'll take these over and I'll come back to the front. And I was going through the wood and I heard the mortars fire. Bloody hell, I thought, you know. And I went off too late. I never got back to the ditch. And I got wounded. And that was the night.
Blokes are going crazy for fags, don't you speak? I remember I'm a non-smoker. The last English money I had, I bought 21 pies and put them in a small bag. And I found them on about the 11th or 12th of June.
And you didn't smoke them?
I was a non-smoker, I still am. But I found these in my pack.
Yeah.
And they took them out, they fell on my neck like a man from heaven.
Not more people smoke in those days, isn't it?
Yes.
Same morning that I got wounded was the first morning the ambulances got through to us, British 3rd Div ambulances.
Yeah.
And they got to, I was fortunately been wounded that morning because I was picked up. I went down to the RAP and Captain Watts was in the RAP and it'd been all the same if you hadn't been wounded, really, because I cut my trousers off and took my boot off and threw
where
it away.
Were you wounded?
I was wounded in the legs, I had a bit in the back, a bit in the foot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wouldn't have been able to carry it on because I wouldn't have any trousers.
I had to fight the Germans.
Well, it was so funny, really, but when I saw the bloody hole in my knee, you know, I gagged a bit. And he said to me, if you're sitting here, you'll clean every bit of my bloody floor up. And I thought, oh, I better not be sick, but it made me Anyway, it was upon I came out, and old Dick Cunningham, the Padre's batman, do you remember?
Yes, Liverwood.
He says, do you want a pill to take something? God, I says, yeah. And he gave me one in one of these feeding mugs with the spout on the sides.
Yeah, yes.
And it had about that much tea in it, and about that much tea leaves.
You couldn't get it out.
No,
we used the same lot all day, probably.
Tea leaves. But we had German POWs there, medics looking after us.
Yeah,
they were
very
good. And down at the mania as well, brigade headquarters. Yeah. Anyway, I was fortunate because no sooner, more or less, a matter of a couple of hours, and the ambulance lifted me and took me down to the main there at brigade headquarters, and I was there until.
Just laid down and went to sleep.
Gone.
Just like that.
This is when you were taken out.
Sold out.
Yeah.
Just all the lot laid down in the area about his feet. He says, never got your positions or everything. They said, fall out, and they just fell down. And everybody's asleep in seconds. I always remember that.
Yeah.
Where the RSM got killed at Brickfield.
That's on the other side,
They got killed there.
Did you spend the rest of the time in that, or did you go further down?
About a week in there, and then they took us out for a rest, and we came down, and we were in a position behind the where the medical centre was in Randall itself.
Right, yeah.
And from there, they moved us down to what they called Icard Bridge.
Mm.
That's where they threw a... it's on the map as Icard Bridge, even now, I think. That was just a wooden bridge across the... a wooden footbridge over the river. And they had a rest area there for the brigade fields. I think they're still there. Yes, is it Mark Picard, E-C-A-R-D-E?
No, it's just... there's some quarries.
There's some quarries, that's right.
That's right, because people seem to go to there for rest area.
Well, that's right. And then when the big attack went round on the 16th, on the 19th of... they threw a radio bridge right across next to it.
Right.
And we were in a rest area then.
Mm.
And the all the wounds were being brought back in ambulances to here.
Mm.
Everything was coming over the Bailey Bridge. So we were, the whole battalion had the stretcher bearers, and we were carrying the stretchers over this wooden footbridge to ambulances the other side of the...
Did they put a Bailey Bridge this side as well? So to avoid using this?
Yes, there must have been. Yeah. I didn't see that one. They must have been the two. But we were on this one here somewhere, right beside it.
Yeah. Because that's where the battalion went after taking the battery.
Yes,
They went to...
Le Plan.
Yeah, they went to Le Plan and then held that,
Pogé,
which allowed the commanders to come up like this and cross the bridge and then go on.
That's
the purpose of it, I gather.
After that rest, we came back and we took up a position at the other side of the farm. As you're on the Millennial Crossroads, you go down till about 100-200 slight slope next to Boursin Combe, and there's a farmhouse on your left with farm buildings. We were in there for the best part of a week.
That's where the road splits, and one goes to Romville and the other one goes straight on to Combe.
Yeah, we were down the road a bit. It's rather funny, when we were on that battlefield tour, I didn't go on until the afternoon. I went back to that farm with old John Sim, and it's a bit of French, and they've got a brand new bungalow now. I've got a photograph I took the 25th anniversary of the old farm house there, and we learned that they made ourselves known to French people, and they're actually in that farmhouse in the summer when we were there.
Were they?
Yes. They were in there, they lived in there, we didn't even know it. They were in the...
In the cellar?
In the cellar, yes.
Tell him the truth.
What?
That's the farmhouse where you got nearly drunk.
What was that, the...
Where you met all them?
No.
That was
told you that, haven't we? Let me get, while we're doing that, let me get you up.
That was a patrol
item.
And we're getting near to that height.
Mm.
And we're in water up to our waist in single file going across this. And I thought, my God, if he's sitting up there with an MT-34 or 42, there's no way you could go. You're just on this.
Mm.
And they'd gone, thank goodness for that. That was a bit heavy, that thing.
That's the only high ground in Normandy there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that little bit around there, around that part of Normandy.
Then
we walked, we put in that attack on the morning of the 19th of
about 3:30 in the morning. We got the Zulu railway station. That's where I ceased to take, when they counter-attack, put these barrows down with these huge shells that were coming down. And, I was running to get help, and that's when I ceased to take an active part.
Then you were evacuated back.
Yes, I came back to somewhere near Bayeux, I estimate. I was in hospital there a week. Well, for the start off, we came back on a lorry. And that was when the Palladius Gap was being shut.
Yeah.
And they hauled us round on this lorry. And I reckon there must have been 3,000 walking wounded in there. I've never seen anything like it. The folks in all states of undress, bandages at all angles, nearly everyone could walk. You know, waiting for somewhere to be. There were Germans, there were Poles, there were Frenchmen.
Where
all in
my lorry.
Yeah, around every nationality in there, yes.
Yeah.
I came back, flown back, and landed at where we took off from, Caldwell.
When I, just a point of interest, you know, just a curiosity point, when I came back, when we left, they put marquees up, not big marquees before, and they went down in the sand. Marquees up over. And I was with a Canadian sergeant there. And every night after the RAF disappeared, they used to machine gun us the beach. And this Canadian sergeant used to crawl over me. I thought, you lay there, boy. But the amount of commandos on that beach when we came off, you know, on that they were still picking the bodies up.
Were they?
Really? Yeah. Terrible.
Were they being washed in by the tide?
We couldn't get when we got there, really, and anything, but then they put us on dats.
Yeah.
And took us out to the. And they had some young lads, air cadets.
Yeah.
Stratopair.
Is it?
Yeah. Godfather.
I came back on plane. I was in Swindon for about 3 or 4 nights in the Burns. I thought, my God, they're all tent boys in there, and they're all like mummies.
Were they?
I remember that.
They've been brewed up in
the tanks. Bloke next to me, you couldn't see me, like, just like a mummy, two slits through the eyes, and they fed him in one of these he's in bands all over. Never mind, I made a murder, he must have been doped up. Thought, my God, I'm glad I'm not in one of those.
Yeah.
And then I went down to Forreston.
Yeah.
Tanks are very frightening.
Yeah.
I think tanks are frightened of the infantry.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather be on my feet than in a tank.
Yeah, I don't want to be on a tank.
Well,
you're
shuffling. Yeah.
What? You're going to... I'll tell the colours to these lip-webs.
Yeah.
And I called to Colonel Crookham, and he said, unhook him, rehook him. I didn't have time. Just so I bent down to do this, right, and kicked down again. The spring come on.
Yeah.
So I went down the aircraft and I shoved the bloke into the toilet. But when I got down, Jack Moat came along, who was my company sergeant major, replaced Wally Beck because he was killed. And he said, the jeep there was just a continuation exercise. You know, down, RV procedure, and all that sort of thing. That the whole exercise was the jump on the bed. December.
In the
yeah. and we were getting a course result that day on Tower Square at Bisley. Captain Walker was the name of the shipping officer. Formed up, and we called the names out there. Mum's first one he called out. It was Myron, Wright, Dickinson, Murphy, Richards. Oh, God, from the 8th Battalion, we formed out. Back to Fulford straight away. When we got back to Fulford, we was on the train and we went down to Dover. And Christmas Day we sailed. Pretty hard then. And, nothing. But the worst thing about down there, it was snow and cold.
Yeah.
We haven't got any winter clothing, though, have we?
Well, I was up in Ireland.
Right down the Long Straight Road, right down the Rhine, big
observation tower down the bottom, big town, the Cherry Adam Opie on top. And the platoon sergeant was in a brick field, so I'm on the right. And with Jimmy in this brick field, he's covered in salt. Every time the mortars went off, he was covered in salt. And yet there was snow outside. Every time we went outside, he didn't put a snow suit on. Anyway, Colonel Crookman came down that night and made still sweat. Strike, I've got a job for you. And I took Bugsy Hughes. He's a madman, wasn't he?
Yes.
He's the only bloke I know that marched in as a sergeant, got an immediate order to him and come out as a corporal. How about that?
After the book.
Anyway, he said, what's this? He said, there's a boat coming over. He says, now you've got some German speaking people in your platoon. I hadn't got the two Germans in, I had the French, but I had sent Jessica and Spivart, two Poles. And Ken Chesky could speak German. And he was the same size as this bloke to be dressed in on this bloody German uniform. And we went out there that night and we got on the banks of the Mars and we waited. Now we had strict instructions on that. They wanted the officer. It was an officer coming across them, a couple of rowers and a machine gunner. To pick this broker.
Jerry had a machine gun on the
lines over the other side.
Mark 4 comes. The SP on the Mark 4 chassis comes. And
the date for the wall.
That's right, yeah.
I've never been back here, neither have you.
No, we had a glider crash right on top of the wood as we were right underneath it. There were five in there. We got two, one bloke out alive, but he's a trailer.
Wasn't that the brigade who called the glider?
I don't know.
Because when I went to see Brigadier Hill, he said he was in the wood, and he suddenly saw a glider coming towards him, and he thought, it's going to land on me. And in fact, he landed in the trees above, and it was his own glider, with his own jeep and other stuff in it, and quite a lot of the guys were killed.
Yeah, they were, that's right.
They got the jeep out eventually. I mean,
yes, because the chain snapped, the glider came in like that above us. We were under and the chain snapped and the jeep came out and the two pilots were under the bonnet of the jeep and one or two other bots in there were badly wounded. It could have been the same one.
Were you still there in the old
days?
When that glider came across there and hit the tree.
It went in between the trees.
And the co-pilot sat each side of the tree.
It went through there. And the wings came off. It was really marvellous. You think
they
punishment, don't they?
Intact. And we sat that as where you lay there, wasn't it?
You laid over there, and I was in the edge of the wood, like, we got organised then.
Surprising what punishment those gliders
took.